Welcome to the Baseball Tell Afterbuzz After Show Inseparable Episode 7. I have a murder to report.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, Afterbuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Mama. Mama just killed a man.
Stabbed him multiple times
in the shower.
Kept him stabbing, now he's dead.
Yes. Welcome to the Baseball Tell Afterbuzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Julia Carley.
Hello, I'm happy to be back in studio. I missed you guys the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and also the lovely duo Casey.
Hi, welcome.
And we're not joined on the phone or in person by Joe Sanfilippo. He's off doing some stuff with his family, and it's fine.
It's fine. He's not here. It's fine.
Holding back the tears.
But we do have the three of us.
Yes.
To talk about a Cracker Jack episode. Every episode's a Cracker Jack episode. Of this wonderful show, The Baseball Tell. Yeah, man, good stuff going on. I should say, a bit of housekeeping at top. Written by Freddie Highmore this episode.
The whole episode?
No, just half. Yes, the whole episode. Yeah. Freddie Highmore wrote the entire thing.
That's
teleplay
great.
By Freddie Highmore, story by Freddie Highmore.
That's great.
He actually sat down, put quill to what do you call it? Paper.
Yeah,
quilled the parchment, scribbled out the episode. That's what I'm trying to
say. By candlelight.
By candlelight. Of course. As all Brits do when they write stuff. No, yeah, written by Freddie Highmore.
It's awesome.
Very cool. So we have some directed by...
No wonder he had such a big role in this episode.
You know what? I don't think I have enough camera time. I'm going to write the next episode, and I'm going to write it for Norman.
But he's already started the show. All right. Anyway,
it's irony.
Great episode. A lot of cool reveals. I mean, it sucks that we're getting down to the nitty gritty here.
I'm getting so sad.
We've only got like two episodes left in this joint.
Three.
But we know that
number
you're
seven, right?
Eight,
not very good at
small
math.
Oh, 10. You're right.
You just established you cannot count in groups of threes.
Groups of threes, I'm a wrap. I don't know. From New York time to LA time, who knows? It's a goddamn mystery to me. Anyway, so it's three more episodes because 10 counts as an episode.
Yes.
All right. What the hell are we gonna do about this show, first of all?
Oh, I'm going to cry myself to sleep.
Second of all, it's all going down. There's no more time for any kind of bullshit. Like, it's all going down these last three episodes. We've got bodies are coming out of the lake. We got Dr. Edwards is missing.
For five episodes, I'm like, where the hell is
Dr. Edwards? Where is Dr. Edwards? And then, what a great twist.
Yeah, it was great. But he popped up in one episode, so we just thought that he was MIA that whole
time. Yeah.
But it turns out that, we'll talk about that later.
You know what pops up in episodes? Juno.
Yeah.
But what did you think? What were your initial thoughts on this episode in general?
Well, talk about your tortured soul. Norman Bates brought it to a whole nother level this episode. I thought it was really, really good. But I think this episode was the final setup for what is just going to be just the last three episodes of just hasher, slasher, like throwing it out all on the table.
Hasher, slasher.
My throat, I want to excuse, my voice is a little scratchy. But this also opened a can of worms for me, because now that we know that Dr. Edwards, for example, has been presumed dead for nearly a year now, but we saw him in an episode, now that poses questions of me going back and thinking, well, was Chick really real? Or was Chick just a figment? You know, we'll talk about that. But now we have a lot more, like, they're really, with the way that they unfolded the whole Marion storyline, not the way that we thought, I totally feel like I have no control. I'm in the dark. So I don't know what to expect.
Wow. That's good news for Carrie Ann and Carlton Cuse. What usually? Yeah.
Oh my God, this episode. I was like jumping up and down when they did that reveal about Edwards. I was just like, over the moon. I really didn't think that they could surprise me.
Yeah.
And they really, really shocked me. But you were right. It did open a new can of worms, because we're realizing that there is new levels of psychosis that Norman is experiencing and new ways of coping. We thought he coped with tragedy by turning into Mother, but now he's manifesting Dr. Edwards and who knows what else as a term of, as means of, as a coping mechanism. Yeah. So, like, we could go anywhere from here, and it's going to be amazing.
It also asks the question, like, what was he doing that past year? Right? Like, how many people did he kill that year that, you know, Dilemma was having a baby?
No idea.
Like, there could be, like, who else is in that lake? Like,
well,
who did we...
Or the well.
Yeah, or the cliff.
Yeah.
Or the... I mean, they got a ton of places.
I mean, Norm had options. Norm was like, the cliff, the well, no more swamp. What do we do?
Mother, how many people have we killed? There's a lot at stake here, Norman.
Just do what I tell you. I love, this episode's great. Again, Freddie Harmer's really doing it, like, with his reactions and his sort of, like, you know, you see his anguish and his, you know, trying to wrap his brain around this thing for himself at the table there. Stop confusing me. Mm-hmm. You know, stop confusing me, Dylan. Like, he's telling a what should be a normal story. Hey, they came in, they had some sex, they drove off, that's it.
I didn't see him again.
But no, he told it, like, this Norman shifty, teary-eyed way.
He's mastered so the nervous conversation. Like, he makes me nervous.
He makes you nervous. He's so, like, shifty and teary-eyed.
With Sheriff Green, he did the same thing. He was
But those moments he takes, those minuscule moments that he takes when someone asks him a question, and you could just almost hear it turning in his head, and there's a moment of silence, and then he answers. Like, those moments of silence, I'm just, like, on the edge of my seat. I don't know what's going to come out of his mouth or how he's going to react to this.
He's killing it. And so, and furthermore, I mean, I think that, for obvious reasons, Freddie Highmore is a spectacular actor and did a great job here, but the MVP of this episode, to me, is Dylan, Max...
Terriott. Not Thoreau, as we've been
Max
calling
Terriott.
Him.
Max Terriott. I mean, Julia, you're an actress, but, like, his reactions, the entire episode is literally us watching him react, you know, to everything, and everything from, you know, him, you know, going upstairs and crying, to how he's dealing with his brother, like, it's all his face, but his reaction to Dr. Edwards has been missing, mm-hmm. and then his reaction to, you know, Madeline Loomis, my husband's missing, and then I'm talking to Norman, and then seeing Norma on the floor, like, priceless, what the F reactions. Mm-hmm. You
one
know?
Of, like, the most important things of the most important tool a real good actor employs is the art of listening.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to lose that as an actor. But he is so masterful at his listening and his very subtle reactions and his sort of taking in of all the information. I think he really knocked it out of the park in
this
episode.
He's fantastic in this episode. Yeah.
Because Lord knows, he got a lot of information coming out
so
of this episode.
So much information. His face was like, what?
Well, in all of his other episodes this whole season, I'm just glad that we got to see a lot of Dylan. Because it was all just, like, really fluffy, happy home. And this is now him in, you know, back at Sodom and Gomorrah, in seeing it face to face. And so he really could get, he had the opportunity to kind of play those, you know, really, really rich levels.
Let's talk about it. So last we saw Norman, he was very busy and in the shower with Sam Loomis doing that business. And the episode opens just like, again, another very specific shot-for-shot homage of Psycho with the eyeball, with this Hitchcock scene of the eye and the twisting eye turning out. It's a very classic shot. They open with that. And then they subverted that very, like, poignant, scary then in Psycho, and was scary in the remake, and also scary now, just the dead eye. They subverted that by having Norma come in and stomp all over the place, and come on, let's get killed, you know. It was almost comedic. It was a really, it was a really good flipping of our expectations here from the original Psycho. Also, very comedic first act of Norma. Norma's, like, cracking jokes the whole time. I feel like she's played very much for humor, and I liked it. She reminded me of, like a 1930s, you know, comic actress. I feel like I was watching Bringing Up Baby or something. She's very, you know.
Mother now has a different sense of freedom. Mother has, like, her mother as a character, as a person within Norman Bates, has more freedom because she's not playing the role of Norma anymore. Now she is her own person in her own way.
It's quite interesting. We beat this into the ground, but it's really quite interesting to think about how Vera is playing Norman as Norma, Mother Norma, as projected by Norman, right? Mm-hmm. So her playing Norma as a real person, real character, obviously you feel the depth, you feel the layers. If you look back at some of the old episodes of Norma, you're like, it's a multi-layered character there. This Norma appears to be kind of one-note-ish, but still not comedic and not over the top. Like, you believe her, but she's still kind of one thing. It's as a projection of Norman's mind. It's a really interesting juxtaposition as a three-dimensional character versus this one-dimensional character that could, in the hands of a lesser actress, just be reduced to a caricature. But, like, because it's because of Vera Farmiga, like, she's still a fully realized person as Norma rejects her. I think that's fantastic. I don't know. That's my commentary.
Well, and I mean, first of all, I think that we needed the comedic. Like, this is a really dark time for Norman, right? Like, what he's learned last episode is huge. The fact that he even killed his first person, like, this is a really scary time for him. So having that comedy, that lightheartedness balance out, and this is all, again, in his own mind, right? So Norma, I think that you got it right on the head, where now Norma has a freedom. This isn't a secret that she has to keep to protect him. Now that it's all out in the open, she can just kind of show him how we do what we do.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Let me show you how we get it done here. You know, we got to do this, we got to do this. Yeah. We're gonna go hock this car. This is what's going to happen. Let's get this done. Like, no time for emotions here. So I did like that play, but it desperately, like, this episode could have been very dark and really, really hard to watch if she wasn't, you know, playing that comic.
There were little moments that it was almost like a buddy cop movie.
That first act was very
buddy cop.
It was like Midnight Run or something. Like the first act was like, you know, Lethal Weapon or Midnight Run. It was like, I'm getting too old for this shit. There's a lot of, like, you know, like even that last scene before, as it when they're you know, watching the bodies being drug out of the lake, and she's like, it's gonna be a long day. You know,
it was very, my favorite was, I wish I had a quarter.
Yeah,
to make a
exactly.
Wish. Make that a was wish. My favorite.
I wish, like, I had a quarter.
I don't want to make a wish.
Yeah.
Norman's puking, and she's like, ugh. Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was big 72 pukes. And she's like, ugh, it's going to be a long night.
Oh my god, let's make that show. Let's make that show.
It's really, I mean, the 80s spinoff.
And none of that was over the top to you. All that was really funny and really spot on and played, like, perfectly for laughs, but also I believed it. Even the whole, you know, like I said, that opening scene where you have the psycho eye, and then, you know, Norma comes stomping in and, you know, covering, I was cleaning this mess up. And
you're,
it's
wasting,
like,
water.
Yeah, you're wasting water. Wasting water. Turn that shower off. You're wasting water. Get over here. Get this. It's like, what's going on? I never saw that in Psycho. Like, he just ran out, you know?
He's just spattered in blood, just like, yeah. On the wall.
And really, I love, go over and change. I'll turn around. I won't look.
Yeah, exactly. That's the talk of stuff. So, Sheriff Green's hot on the case, man. She's pulling up the bodies. She's kind of new in town. She knows one of the bodies is what's his name?
Jeff.
Oh, my gosh.
Black Jeffman?
James Blackwell? Jack Black?
Anyway,
Black.
She knows one of the guys. We're so well prepared, aren't we? Anyway, she knows it is the dude who tried to kill him, that Romero tried to kill him. Yeah.
I think it was Jim Blackwell.
I'll take it.
Ah, there it is. Yeah. There Blackwell. It is. There it is.
Yes.
We're close.
My cousin. Joe Braswell is Jim Blackwell. Okay, anyway. So they go, she pays him a visit to sort of say, you know, don't worry, Norman. Like, everything's fine, but we don't know that. We don't know what's going on. And
I love her poker face.
Oh, it's so good.
Because, you know, do we think she suspects Norman, or she's just sort of like, because she's kind of playing it like almost like.
Well, I don't know. Would you suspect Norman?
Well, yeah, he's very suspicious. But it's like, I don't have the evidence, but something's off here. So I'm just going to ask questions and let's see if this kid hangs himself. That's kind of like the approach. Like, oh, really? I thought you said you had no guests. Oh, when was that, Norman? When did they come? Okay. Like, it was very, I don't know. It's very, I can't read her.
Well, I think that she said it flat out when she was like, well, I just wanted to come over and let you know that Jim Blackwell's not going to be bothering you. Like, that's why she came over. But then he was like, bodies? Dead bodies?
Yeah.
Like,
dead bodies?
Yeah.
That's weird. No, like, if somebody's like, hey, you know that lake behind your house? We found bodies. You're like, oh my gosh. Like, who was it?
Right.
What happened? Like, those are the questions that somebody that doesn't have anything to do with it asks. And he was like, I was waiting for mother to actually just take over and be like, this kid can't handle it.
Right. But he did.
Yeah.
And he told her, like, don't worry, mother, I'll handle this. And he did handle it. So, you know, we think he handled it.
I think he handles
it in a way that he almost seems like this overly conservative person. Like, when you go back to the sexual thing, when, you know, there were two guests that came here for an hour, you know, I don't like that. I think that he can almost play off that I'm just this really sheltered young boy very innocent and just kind of socially awkward.
Don't really know the ways of the world.
Well, yeah, but it's also so weird how he does hide behind that super, like, you know, well, they came in here and they were here for a few hours.
He can't
it's almost
it.
Like if you said, did they have sex, Norman? He'd be like, ah! You
know? He can't
maybe,
say it.
No, you know. But
but he can watch it.
And he can do it. He can watch it and do it.
Can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it without killing someone.
Dirty.
Yeah. Without killing somebody.
Without the urge to kill.
Poor Norman. That is a crying shame.
Poor Norman. Anyway, so that happened. Then they dispose of the body. They realize then that, you know, or Norman's like, look, people are pulling bodies out of the lake. You know, people are sniffing around. We gotta do something with the body. This is part that was interesting to me. There's a couple of moments here in this episode that very specifically didn't really match up to how we've seen Norman, you know, in his psychosis when he is talking to Mother before.
Mm-hmm.
The first is when they talked about, you know, moving the body,
mm-hmm.
and Norma says, "What are we gonna do with her?" And it's such a weird moment. Like,
you're talking about the body of Norma.
Of Norma.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, Norma's like, "It's me," but like, "What are we gonna do with her?"
Yeah,
he didn't say, "What are you gonna do with me?"
Yeah,
and it's also a we, mm-hmm. which makes it weird, because there it's like, well, how am I moving myself, Norman?
I think that we established last episode that she's not, like, that's what busted everything wide open. If I could just backtrack for just a moment, just 1 second, because there was something really important that was said in the car by Norma, because through this whole moving of the body, Norman was very resistant, but when Norma said, there's a lot at stake here, and it will be if they find those bodies, they will either kill you or they will put you away. Either way, it's the end of us. And so that seemed to be the motivation to keep Norman going throughout the whole thing.
Right.
And that's what motivated him to be like, well, we need to get rid of his mother, the dead body of his mother. That's a huge thing. And also her reaction to it, her kind of like almost disrespectful dismissal of, oh, what do you want to do with that body? I think says to the audience, you know what? They're not, she has no connection to this. This is just the evil part of Norman's mind that he has projected into the mother look. That's it.
Interesting.
There seems to me to be like a panic in Mother to stay relevant and to stay alive.
Correct,
So, you know, perfect point, like you just said, either they kill you or they make you take your meds. Either way, I'm gone. We're dead.
Right.
And then also when they're walking and he sees the sheriff, she goes, do you want me to take over? I'm happy to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's like she's forced to take over, like mm-hmm. she did with Dylan.
Yeah.
Mother feels forced to take over in order to stay alive and present.
She feels sort of Norman being, now that Norman's woke, if you will, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. like, and knows that this is all what's happening, she feels the need to, the fear of Norman getting better and mm-hmm. her going away forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Norman feels that. And that's where we're the personification of Norman's internal struggle, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And also to your point about what, she said in the car, but either way, I'm gone. Either going to kill you or they're going to lock you.
Make you take drugs.
That very much sounds like an internal monologue.
She says, either way, it's mm-hmm. the death of us.
Oh, it's the mm-hmm. death of us. Yep. That sounds like something, you know, Norman's really like saying to himself, like, mm-hmm. I got to do this. I don't want to take the meds. I don't want to be dead. Yeah. Like, it very much sounds like, you know, the kind of logic you tell yourself when you're trying to talk yourself into doing something stupid or not.
Or hiding a body.
Yeah, you know how that is. You know how we do it. Anyway, so yeah, but yeah, that's a great observation, Julia. Though I like the idea of Norma just clawing, like, "Can I take over now? Can mm-hmm. we do this?"
Yeah,
because
she is almost now overly exposed and almost vulnerable,
and to the point where
she has power now because now she's not playing the role of mother
mm-hmm.
or of Norma. Now she is her own entity that has a little carte blanche.
I'm the projection. Look, I'm here because you can't handle things.
Uh-huh.
So like that's her role now. It's like, I'm here when you can't handle things, I show up. But even in the kitchen, and I'm skipping ahead a little bit, we'll come back to it, but even in the kitchen when Norman's talking to Dylan,
mm-hmm.
like, he's having a normal conversation, he looks over and Mother's there like,
Do
I need to step in here? Are you gonna get this right?
Yeah,
just chomping at the bit.
Are you
overwhelmed? When I come into play.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you gonna expose us? Are you gonna expose me? What's gonna happen?
And it affects Norman's behavior because he even whispered that line.
I know.
I miss
Yeah.
Our mother.
Right.
Our mother. Yes.
Like, and that was such a big moment in that scene. But to talk about the moving of Norma's body, that was a beautiful scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so sad.
Just like the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, as far as wheelchairs and dead frozen bodies go, it was lovely. Sure. Sure.
Beauty is subjective.
That's Norman. Yes.
But that outfit that he dressed her up in was pretty lavish.
Yes.
Also wonder like how they, you know, again, another mild throwback to Psycho, because Norman wheels Mother Norma around in that wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
You
know?
So when I saw the wheelchair, I'm like, oh, is she going in the window? No, she'll melt in the window. So where's she going? You know? Yep. And so they found that, you know, they found a place for
that shallow grave.
Well, he didn't want to get her dirty. You know? Because he's coming back for her.
Yeah.
He said, I will come back for you as soon as I can. That's disrespectful to actually bury his mother.
On her face?
He just made a nice little bed for her.
So she stays
cold.
And
then covered her up. And then she'll have a little snow cover so she'll stay nice and intact.
Right.
And then he'll just come get her later.
Yeah. Like, there are like no witnesses in White Pine Bay.
It's off in the woods. It's way off in the woods.
It's way far away.
It's a clearing they found together
animals.
One day.
No
animals.
Did they show him? I mean, they didn't show him in the car, which is like which would have been the Weekend at Bernie's moment when, you know, he's driving and Mother's like, you know, in the shotgun. Like, so I'm glad they didn't show. Because they're going to put her in her trunk, is she? Like, where does he put her?
I don't know. Well, she was in a wheel. No, I don't know.
I mean, he just props her up next to her and he's talking the whole time. You know, Mother.
I'm sure they had a great conversation in the car.
Well, no, because he didn't invite Mother. He said, I have to do this alone.
Yeah.
Mother's not invited. This is a ceremonious event just for Norman alone and his mother's body.
Which is one of my other times. That's my half of time where I felt sort of out of character, because he's doing this alone. He's consciously knowing that this is my dead mom.
Mm-hmm.
Mother is somewhere away or in my brain or back at the house.
Mm-hmm.
But with him saying, don't worry, I'll come back for you, I promise. That sort of showed to me that he didn't want this to end.
Right.
Because there were times when, like we were talking about with Dylan, which we'll get to, there were moments where like I felt like he was asking Dylan for help, or like crying out for help in his own way. Like, this is too much. But this, saying, I'll come back for you, I promise, and he's not getting her dirty, makes it seem to me that he wants to retain this life that he is being forced to lead.
He doesn't want to let her go, sure. But how convenient that he gets rid of Mother's body out of the house just in time for Dylan to roll out so he can't find her.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an accident.
Well, I liked it. And what he even said. He said, like, look, people are going to be sleeping around. Things are going to happen. We got to
get rid of stuff. That.
I also like the other thing that, like, back to my point about new ways that Norman is sort of processing the mother thing is, I had to talk to you about this. When he's in bed and Mother comes and wakes him up, like, you know, I just got here. Juno's stuffed. Juno's like stuff right there. Juno's not running around barking.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, boy. Hey, Juno. Hey, Mom. So he's not completely delusional there.
Nope.
He's aware that, okay, well, I'm like, I'm confused on that. Is it like a halfway point?
It's not a fantasy anymore. It's just because now Mother, her presence is a reality.
Correct. Yeah, there's no like beautiful kitchen.
No, you know, this is just the world that she lives in now.
Yep, she's cracked into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we touched on it a little bit last episode, where with him being aware, will he no longer black out that she is in his reality?
Well,
and so then he can kind of make that determination he almost allowed her in.
That they can coexist.
We can talk about that.
In the same
place. Well, I want to get back to that, because when we get to the final kitchen sequence. But let's jump back to Romero. So Romero, we didn't see him at all last episode.
Mm-hmm.
But which he directed last episode, did he? Or the episode before
Either
last?
Two episodes ago? I think two episodes ago.
Okay.
I think.
But we didn't see him last episode at all. And now we see he's better. He's staying out. I totally got lost as to who he's with. Can you explain it to me?
I did. So I asked, and I want to thank all of our listeners that respond when we ask questions. We absolutely love that. And it was, because I didn't know either, that was, do you remember Sheriff Keith Summers? And the one who raped Mother, or Norma in episode one, season one. That was his sister. So they're like old childhood friends.
Got it.
And they've been through a lot together. And so, she was definitely...
She used to live in that house, right? Right? I think wasn't so, yeah. His house first? Oh. That's why
he was mad.
His whole motivation.
That's right. Ooh, mm-hmm. Taking it back to season one.
Yeah.
Wow, that's way back. Yeah, okay, so that makes sense. I did not put together, but he's there with Keith Summer's sister, mm-hmm. You know, in there. And
she cares for him deeply.
Yeah. She's giving
some... When I am, look at him.
She's giving him some antibiotics.
Don't you get into some trouble. Saying. No gun for you, like mister.
A little peeking in there while he was recovering.
Take it easy. Like, what's going on over here?
A little Florida nightmare.
What you packing?
Let me administer the antibiotics.
He lost his train of thought.
I'm flooded with dirty jokes, but I will refrain. Anyway, so she sets him up, gets him some food and gets him the antibiotics, and he wakes up and he realizes I'm missing something. It's my gun, and I don't know. She's like, you never had a gun. Because she's worried about him. It's not like mm-hmm. she's fearing for her safety. Mm-hmm. She's worried about what he might do, correct? Mm-hmm. Is that you guys read it?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, he's going to kill me. It's more like, what's he going to go do? Let me stop.
Well, anytime some guy shows up on my doorstep with a gunshot wound and he's supposed to be in jail somewhere, I'm a little suspicious. I might take that guy's gun away.
Yeah. Hide it in the cookie jar.
Yeah.
So Romero, he seems to be better. He's looking for his gun. She's talking him off the ledge. But... I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen with this Romero thing.
Mm-mm. Well, she is, it's obvious that she knows him very well. And she even said, look, I know that you live your life by your own moral compass.
Yes.
And I know that, so she knows that he's on some type of revenge suicide mission, perhaps. And she just wants him to get better. She called that it was Norma right away. She knew that it was because she didn't commit suicide. She knows all of this, and I think that I think that he's actually going to recover fully. She'll give him back his gun, and I'm going to save what's going to happen later for predictions. But I think that what all this does, all the gun situation does, is it delays. It delays. So this is just delaying the time that it takes for Romero to actually get to Norman.
Right. It was a couple of things there. That line, "You live by your own moral compass," is something that it took us 3.5 seasons to figure out. Remember back in seasons 1 through 4, we were like, what's the deal with Romero? Like, what's his deal? Is he good? Is he bad? Is he the boss? Is he the mob? Is he this? Is he taking money? And then finally, we're like, at one point, we're like, he lives by his own moral compass. Like, by the end of season 3, we get it now. And then she tells us, I'm like, where were you back then? For us, in the first 3 seasons. Secondly, I just wrote it in there. I know you live by your own moral compass. Like, there it is, right there. The other thing is, I really like there's something that reminded me of something very Western-y about this. Something very like Clint Eastwood Western, that whole exchange too, like the gun and the this. He's holed up, like he's like an old gunslinger going in for one last mission.
Yeah,
and that whole Benson. It could have been written in Western. That all like you live by your own moral compass.
Yeah.
You can't go back into that town and administer justice on your own. You watch me. Yeah. I'm right, my movie over here. Sorry.
I won't let you do
it's fine. I'm totally into it. Can you throw in a I'm your Huckleberry? And then I'm really, really sold.
But it seems that I like that. I feel like old Sheriff Romero coming back into town to administer his own brand of justice.
Yeah. Tonight on
NBC. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. We'll go back to predictions. Dylan shows up, at the doorstep, like here, and he's very, very sort of sympathetic to Norman's plight. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if Dylan was going to come in screaming at him or yelling at him. I know you killed her. Where is she? Kind of the Romero vibe, which you can't do because Romero's clearly going to do that. He went the other way. Like, you're my brother. Like, you're sick.
What's I think after on? He saw the condition of that kitchen, he was like, oh no. Yeah.
And he said, you live here by yourself?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I got it.
These are women's shoes.
Yeah.
Kicked off, the pair of high heels kicked off in the middle of the living room and a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
That was great, by the way. Fishy. another Dylan what the F look, like, the old Newports and the high heels, huh? All right.
Something's amiss.
Well, at least the kitchen's not the kitchen. Okay.
I want to bring up one thing about the whole Dylan scenario. Actually, two things. The first thing I'm going to bring up is when Dylan is crying at the foot of his mother's bed, and he says, I'm so sorry.
Poor Dylan.
I'm sorry I wasn't there. What do you guys think that meant? Do you think that that meant he wasn't there because he knows that Norman killed her?
I think he knows that the odds are that Norman killed him, killed her, and that he's sorry because he abandoned her. Because he let it happen. He just said, you know what, you two deserve each other. I can't be a part of this. I want to make a new life. And he left. I mean, and he didn't call. He didn't write. He didn't check in. Nothing. And now she's dead. And
shit went bad.
It went real bad. Real fast.
And either way, like whether or not, like, whether or not she, you know, he thinks like she had enough of whatever, Norman or whatever, and committed suicide. Mm-hmm. You know, this is why, like, I wasn't there for you because you took your own life for some reason. Maybe I could have helped. Mm-hmm. Or I wasn't there for you because clearly Norman killed you. I mean, it's still mm-hmm. enough to make a poor young boy cry.
Yeah. Plus, his mommy's dad.
Yeah.
Mommy's dad. Mommy's died.
And the other thing that I think is really interesting, both of the scenes with Norman and Dylan were in the kitchen. And I think that that's really important to know, because if you go back a little bit for about 20 seconds here, back down memory lane to season one and I think season two or three, the first time that Dylan witnesses a blackout by Norman, they were in the kitchen together and they got into a physical altercation.
Yeah.
And then Dylan was one of the first people to see Norman. Actually, I think he was. It was either Dylan or Dunkel. Yeah, to see him in full-fledged Norma when she was wearing the robe.
Yeah.
And she was like, Norman? Norman's sleeping. You guys remember that? Yeah. That was also in the kitchen. So all of these kind of like revelations that Dylan has and these like these things that are exposed to Dylan about Norman's mental well-being have happened in the kitchen. So the fact that these are both centered in the kitchen, I think, is really important and probably very intentional.
Yeah, I don't want to take it one step further. I mean, we've had these sort of really epic dinners, these last suppers. I mean, every season has had one big scene where it's like, you know, of course, the heartbreaking family dinner, and I think that was season three. You know, we're all there with Caleb, and they all kind of sat down and ate together.
That was called the Last Supper,
We're all like, oh, yeah, it was. That's right, and they're playing the piano. We're like, oh, this is all downhill from here.
Everyone's got to be happy.
It's all downhill from here. Yeah, But the kitchen and then the dinner type table. And that table, of course, plays a huge role in the entire thing. Also sandwiches. A lot of sandwiches. Mm-hmm. I agree. And Dylan's his compassion for his brother was also sort of heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like, this is really bad. Like, we're going to... And everything Norman says, it's almost like Dylan blacks out. It's like... Yeah, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's okay. We're gonna fix this thing, brother. And it's really interesting to see him sort of be like, his eyes are like, he's such a, like, he's again, Max,
Theriot.
Max Theriot, like, the compassion in his Max eyes, he's so Theriot. it's so, like, he's just, the empathy in his eyes are just like, it's okay, brother. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, almost like tears in his eyes. And he goes down, I'm gonna sort this thing out. Let me go down to the doctor. Let me find, he asked him about good old Dr. Edwards. Like, you stopped seeing, what happened to Dr. Edwards? He goes, oh, you know, I stopped seeing him. I've been fine. But I saw him the other day, you know, in the town. And
the happenstance.
It was all fine. He's like, okay, well, let me go check this out. And he goes to the pharmacist, and he tries to get the thing prescribed, and he mentions Dr. Edwards, and she's like, oh, Dr. Edwards, he's been missing for a goddamn year.
Dun, dun, dun.
What? Are you kidding me?
That was so good.
That was so...
So good. Like, they got me so
they
good. They got me so good.
Because I've been screaming. I think I spent the first 5 or 6 episodes screaming, like, where is Dr. Edwards?
Uh-huh.
Poor Norman. He needs you, buddy.
Yeah.
And then he showed up, like, okay, there he was. Okay, that still wasn't enough. Like, how is he leaving him? Like, you know, this is because there's some moral code or something that allows him to, you know. Just,
no, something happened. You think he came by and Norman killed him and he's in the river?
Well, we're going to have a flashback. I think we'll have a flashback.
Did he, I know we just watched it. Did Dylan tell Norman that he's missing?
No.
That he's presumed dead? Okay.
No. He didn't get that far. He didn't get that far because he only got to San Luis.
Just said, I got the pharmacist to kick me a few pills.
Right.
Okay, got it. And, just wanted to make sure
he gets that, and he's like...
Because that's going to be a bombshell for Norman when he finds that out.
I think he probably wanted him to take a pill before he told him.
Yeah. Take one of these.
But he even said it to the pharmacist. Like, well, that's strange because my brother said he just saw him. Well, that's impossible. Because he's presumed dead.
So my brother really needs these pills.
Yeah. It's a lot of, like... But this,
everywhere he turns, there's like somebody missing, someone dead. First, it's there's comedic. Norma is dead, then Dr. Edwards is missing, and then Madeline shows up, and Sam's gone.
Yeah.
And all roads lead back to Norman.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Like the look on his face, like missing, dead. Missing, dead. Okay, well, who's this young lady? Your husband's missing?
Yep. Good damn.
did he know Norman? Did he visit here? Like, yeah, it's bad. So
I'm kind of sad that Emma isn't with Dylan, because this would be like the ultimate caper for both of them.
Oh, yeah.
If they were together, and they would also be able to...
Emma would crack this case wide open in a second.
Yep.
Emma would solve this, and it'd be over. This would be the finale. If Emma was there, she'd have this thing solved in a second. But Dylan, so she goes back, and then we get her parents from Madeline Loomis, who's looking distraught, looking exactly like Norma. But,
exactly.
But super distraught, and, you know, looking for her husband, Sam Loomis. You know, Dylan asks the questions, what's your husband's name, just in case. You know, and he tells her Norman's not well. He's got mental issues.
Illness. But way to put Norman on blast. He's mentally ill. So any chance that Norman ever had of, you know.
Yeah.
Well, probably did that for her own good.
Yeah.
Like, in case you don't know.
My
brother is batshit crazy. Yeah. He probably shouldn't be coming around here very often.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I almost had sex with this guy, you know. But I do. Anyway, so she leaves. He goes and confronts Norman. And ask a few simple questions.
Did Madeline have reason to believe that Sam was at the motel? Or she just was looking desperately?
Well, the last time she saw Sam, he was following...
She locked him out of the door. She locked him out of the house.
But there was... Marion had come and destroyed his car, and he walked out, and she locked him out. So then if he was to follow Marion, I would think that the hotel would be someplace that she would look.
Well, no, but remember, Norman outed him. Norman was like, yo, your husband was at the hotel with some chick.
Yeah.
To just talk to him, console him. Did you see him? Do you know where he is? It's a small town.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So Dylan goes up to confront Norman and starts, you know, very, very calmly asking some questions. Again, seemingly
your friend outside.
Seemingly normal questions.
Which could have so easily just been circuit. Yes, they were he was with a woman that he's cheating on his wife with, and they left, and I never saw him again.
As we said,
easy.
But because it's Norman,
yeah,
it sent him into a tailspin, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, and he was really, as we talked about earlier, Freddie Highmore with these great sort of body shifting, you know, teary eyed reactions.
It's
to
also
a simple question.
Not
beautiful
easy for him to lie to Dylan. It's not
that's why
easy because he loves
high
him.
High conflict.
Yeah.
Yes.
The entire time.
He doesn't want to lie to him.
Yeah.
I think that was why he was so like stumbly and all over the place, because it's inner turmoil of, look, this could be really, really simple is the mother side of it, but the Norman side is like, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me.
Yeah.
Like, this is a real life person in his real life.
Yeah.
And also super tender scene as you see. God, like, I feel so bad for Norman. But as you see, you know, Norman really struggling with this. And then he says that thing, stop confusing me. Mm-hmm. And then Dylan sort of gets up.
Meddling with the truth.
Yeah. he gets up and just sort of sits by him. And it's really, really.
That was so sweet.
So sweet. Like, we're gonna do this. I got these pills, you know, and, you know, you're going to take one in front of me. And we'll start from there.
Yeah.
Also, his line of leave and let me live the way I need to live.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
I just said it with tears in his eyes.
Oh. Heartbreaking. Because he doesn't know how. And he'd said in the scene earlier, and he goes, every day here is a small century.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is, and it's just, it's hard for him to live the way he lives. Like, he's such a tortured soul.
He also
soul.
Told him living anywhere else, any other way, is not an option. Like,
he's
talked before about sort of being trapped and not having a choice. Yeah. In his life and in his state of loneliness, and this is the only way he can survive.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I've said it a thousand times. It's amazing what Carrie Aaron and Carlton have done. You know, making these folks such sympathetic characters.
Yeah.
We really care about Norma. We really care about Norman, homicidal maniac. We care about Dunkel, you know, the incestuous rapist. We care. Mm-hmm. You know, we care about all these people. You know, and so.
Sure do.
But anyway, it's so he goes where he tells him that he goes to take the pill, which was, you know, felt like an hour between the time he got the pill and he's going
to
take it and
walks
the sink. And then I'm like, come on, is he taking this pill or not?
Yeah.
So he gets there. And Mother shows up, and I love the way they just let that play out in real time for the audience, like not without camera tricks or Norma or Vera Farmiga showing up. It's just Norman and just Freddie Highmore, you know, like, Mother, I don't need you. Like,
stay out of this,
think,
mother.
Well, I think that was a really important choice because you needed to see that whole interaction from the vantage point of Dylan.
Yes.
You needed to see it the way that Dylan was seeing
Absolutely.
It. And so I think that that's why they made that choice, because it did kind of look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's what Dylan's seeing. He's seeing his brother be his mother.
Right.
And he's, and of course, again, Dylan had these great reaction shots.
Yeah, coming
all
over.
Episode.
And then the whole thing, like, I can only love one son or whatever. What did she say?
Yeah.
What was the line?
I can only be the mother to one person.
Yeah. And I, that moment, like,
and it ain't you, kid.
Yeah.
It's basically what it was.
That was,
you didn't make the cut.
Did you think Dylan was going to go down? When you were watching it in real time, did you think Dylan was going to die?
I thought that it was terrifying. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening. And then when I saw, when it was like, mother, no, and I saw the struggle, my first thought was, how is Dylan seeing this? And I think that the way they cut that was brilliant because they watched, and of course, I know a thing or two about a head injury, and to get whacked over the head really, really hard, you're not really all there mentally, and you're like, so for him to actually be seeing his brother have a fight with his other personality in front of him, like full-fledged fight, like
physical fight,
over whether or not, like, do you think he understood that this was whether or not he was going to die?
Yeah. I think so. And I also think, like, as he's, you know, there's also a bit of sort of surrealness of it because he's knocked out, he's kind of coming to, and he sees, like, what probably is Norman holding his own hand away from killing, you know, his brother, and then, you know, and then throwing himself under the table, you know, and struggling with himself. You know, it was really, that's something to watch. If you're, like, you know, sort of, like, mildly concussed and coming out of that, it's like, what the hell? You know, all of that was just, you know, really, really intense. And, but thank God Norman won. You know, and I think this is—I think this has a lot to do with what we've been seeing these last two and a half episodes. Is the slow progression of Norman sort of, you know, winning over Norma. You know, like Norman's, you know, winning, and Norman's personality is coming out. I mean, Norman did kill Sam Loomis. He's you know, definitely woke for that. And as she talked about, like, Mother Norma is trying to stay relevant the whole episode, and to the point where it actually ended in a fight, a physical fight, where she throws him off, and Norman jumps on the phone and makes the call. Or does he?
We heard it. But what's interesting now is that,
like, him, like, mother's holding down the... like, he's like, 911...
Sweet rotary phone. I love the rotary phone, P.S. mounted to the wall.
But what does that do? Like, that poses all these new questions. Like, what does that do for, like, Romero's vengeance? Now, like, is Norman going to go into a mental institution? Are they going to find all these bodies?
I mean, what's going to happen? Like, is three full episodes left. So this isn't just more. Now, at this point, you know, I mean, is Dylan going to, like, it's my brother, I got to protect you? Like, what happened?
Romero
still gotta show up. Dylan's still gotta find out about Caleb.
Chick, I totally thought that was Chick's gonna happen this season.
Chick's gotta roll up on the spot. In fact, let's just jump in predictions right now.
Okay. If Chick's real.
Chick's real. He's writing a book. Predictions, maybe? That's all right. Who needs to drop?
Yeah.
Let's go to, what's gonna happen?
The light switch.
So, this is what I think. I think, because of Sheriff Romero's moral compass... This might be a little bit outlandish, but I think that Norman is actually going to go into some type of... He's not going to be accessible to Romero anymore. There's going to be some type of mix-up, and I think that Romero is actually going to accidentally kill Dylan.
Oh, you're really going there.
In the house. He's going to see something in the house. He's going to go to shoot, but it's actually going to be Dylan, not him.
Wow, that's
going to suck.
Yeah, but maybe he would kill himself, or maybe there'd be a shootout and they'd kill each other. Like, something is going to happen, because I think that another level... So Norman has now gotten to this, like, plateau where he understands stuff, so he needs another really sharp emotional kick in the head to throw him way over the edge. So I think that maybe the loss of Dylan, his only other family member.
Okay. That sort of ties into what I'm thinking.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, so originally I thought when I was watching this episode that when Norman found out that there was a baby, that mother's grandmother's instincts were going to pop in and she would want to be a grandmother. But instead, since I saw her now try to kill Dylan, I think Emma's going to show up with baby Katie, and that's going to be the catalyst for Norman to win over the mother, to beat mother out in a probably really imperative moment. And because, I mean, because in the end, this show is about family. And I think that he's not going to want to expose Katie, the little baby, the little innocent, to all this.
In the end, we know how Psycho ends. In the end of Psycho, it's all mother. You know, I mean, do we think
that mother's going to take over completely?
Who's going to win?
Because they're both getting very strong. Norman is getting strong. Mother is getting strong.
Who's going to win, Norman or mother?
But they've also been really they've said time and time again that this show is simply inspiration, and a lot of the big, huge, iconic things that we thought were going to happen aren't. And things I'm sure, like, so I never want to think that I know what's happening, because I don't.
I mean, Dr. Edwards is missing.
Oh, God.
I'm sure that he's in the river.
I mean, the second they identify him out of the river, then it instantly ties him to Norman. Then the dots start to be connected.
Yeah.
I mean, unless he was over the cliff.
There's a lot of people in that river. Who knows who's in that river?
Yeah. I'm sure that Emma's mother's in the river.
There's got to be a scene where Emma realizes her mother's dead and Norman killed her.
Yeah.
There's got to be a scene where they realize that Caleb's dead and Norman killed him. So
Chick actually killed him.
That's true. Very true.
But still
like both Emma and Dylan have their parents, you know, dead somewhere around the vicinity of Norman Bates. That's not good. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm really interested to see when how Romero gets into town, what happens when Romero comes to town, and how he exacts his brand of Romero justice. I've got no prediction.
I'm really excited to see that.
Oh, I'm excited, and then I'm just so sad because I don't want it to be over.
I know, but I also don't want to be. I don't know what kind of resolution I'm looking for. I want to be like this. I was satisfied by this show, but I also feel like I'm going to be really sad. I feel like no matter what happens, I'm gonna be sad.
Well, I think, I mean, everybody has to be dead, and like Norman ends up in a mental institution as mother, right? Everybody's dead, and Norman's in a mental institution as mother.
Maybe.
Like, I would think if they were going to go based on the movie, that's what ends up happening.
No, I mean, Sam Loomis, I mean, some of those people survived.
Yeah.
They put him away. So, you know, it's flipped. It's funny, Sam Loomis died, Marion Crane lived here. Whereas the other one, Marion Crane died, and Sam Loomis lived. Anyway, that's all we got. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much for watching. Thanks for listening to us on iTunes and YouTube. Thanks for all you guys who watch us on YouTube. And there it is. And if you like the show, you can rate us on iTunes. Help people find us for these last three episodes. We're going to try to get some guests in here for these last three.
Some really good guests.
Yeah, we're working on a really big guest, so we'll see what we can do. That's all we got. Jewel, where can the kids find you?
You can find me at Dua Casey, at DuaKaissi on the Twitters, at Dua Casey. That's all.
I don't know what happened there.
Now I'm scared just to spell my own name. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, fingers crossed, JuliaCarely.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm Joe Braswell, at Joe K. Braswell, BrasWell, Joe K. Braswell, Instagram and Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
And on Snapchat, Hotel. Too, right?
Yeah, JK Braz or J. Braz.
Yeah.
I'll be naked. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.